Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We are
Fly Club.
And this room sounds great.
When I finally met Sam at the house show, I was like, yeah, I worked out there at Monsters. He's like, I knew you looked familiar. He's like, dude, I hated you.
When we tell people we're Flight Club, and then they go, oh, the first rule. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, first rule's learn how to read.
Yeah.
It's basically the only way you could get our merch is if you shoplift at Fashion Bucks. It's very expensive.
Podcast lovers, thank you for hitting play on This Room Sounds Great. I'm Reese Williams, recording from In Your Ears Studios, and we know you've got a lot of options out there when you've got your earbuds in, your headphones on, when you are training your cat to use the toilet, or filtering water by reverse osmosis. You could be listening to anything, but today you get to tune in to Richmond Zone Flight Club. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
We're going to go clockwise, ring around the rosy style. I would love for you to tell us your name and what you do in the band, pretty please, just to get us started.
Good morning. My name is Harry, and I slap the skins in the background, the drummer.
I'm Alex. I play bass, and occasionally they let me sing.
I am Charlie. I sing and occasionally play guitar.
I'm Sam, and I play guitar.
Nice, nice.
So, Harry, you're not smacking people in the face back there.
Sometimes.
No, yeah, sometimes.
Depends on how close I get, usually.
It could cool my too far on my grill, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
I run back there.
I do. I like to be close, but yeah. Harry doesn't like it.
Yeah.
We were just talking about what a great show it was when you were on Chaco Sessions Live. The sound quality, the entertainment. You are such a great front man.
Hey, thanks.
It's really, really nice when people are just great entertainers in addition to being skilled musicians. It's great to listen to skilled musicians all day long. That's wonderful. But when they add that element of engagement and camaraderie, you know, the way you guys look at each other on stage, it's just, it makes everyone feel included. That is huge for fostering a following and getting people to come to your shows. You have a great following on Instagram. I think you have over 7,000 followers.
Something like that.
Not close. No. if you round up, yeah.
I thought it was a lot. I thought you guys had a lot.
I think we're like around like 40, like 4.6.
Okay.
Something
that's
like
still
that.
Great.
Maybe,
so
good, maybe a lot of people just unfollowed us since we last checked.
They didn't like this session as much as we did.
Yeah. What do you guys even think about that? Amassing that following? Are you just happy to engage people live? I mean, what is your mindset on getting people to jump on board?
Yeah, well, I think for us, like, our band, we always said, like, it makes sense once you see us live, especially. I think that, like, we have this philosophy of, like, be the crowd you want to see and, like, engage everybody, and we feel like that's where we're at our best, so I think it just kind of comes across because we're feeling it. And then when it comes to, like, engaging people, like, we kind of got our roots, it's, like, kind of guerrilla marketing stuff from, like, the Vans Warped Tour. Like, all of us have, like, worked it at different points. It's how we met Harry. And we would go up and just engage with people directly and, like, trade them, like, stickers for, like, an Instagram follow, you know, or something like that. And
in the radio world,
that's
called payola, and that's illegal, but okay.
But, yeah, no, it's been good. And it's, you know, we like just engaging people, meeting people. We're all like, I think all of us except for Harry have been bartender. Well, you're a monster bartender on Warped Tour.
I give it out for free, so
yeah,
you know, a little easier.
The easiest bartender.
not as many tips.
But. Yeah, but we I don't know. We like engaging with people, so I think it just kind of came naturally to us.
What are your musical backgrounds? Did anybody go to school for music? Did you just pick up instruments? And then how did you guys come together?
I did a sixth grade band. That's about it.
Nice.
All of our dads, or at least Alex, me and Charlie's dads, all played guitar and stuff and kind of taught us how to play music, and they were in bands back in the day. So, yeah,
man,
I
mean,
I did like show choir in high school and stuff like that. But other than that, just my dad taught me to play guitar, and it's kind of the same for them.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad just taught me a lot of like Van Halen on guitar, basically. And then Charlie's dad played bass, and somehow we switched. And
yeah, it is funny.
Yeah.
I was always just drumming after sports, and then once I finally stopped playing sports in college is when I really started like jamming with other kids. So I just started treating drums like my sport and finally got a little bit better once guitarists were teaching me what they wanted instead of me just like playing as fast as I could to all the songs I did growing up.
It is a sport. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I don't think I have the stamina to be back there the whole time, just slamming away.
And how did you guys meet? And how did you decide to form something? And then how did you identify roles with each other?
Yeah, well, Alex and I were born to the same family, so we've been stuck together since birth.
Fortunately and unfortunately, never known a day without him.
For better and for worse. Sam is the band's founding member, and we connected through a VCU musician Facebook group. And I think like I posted a video of like a performance that I did, and I was like, I'm new to the area, I want to play. And he was like, cool, I like pop punk too. And I was like, all right, what about it? Like, are we going to do something?
Yeah. He just posted a picture of like the first time we actually met in person. It was a house show. That I had to be like, come see us play, see if you dig it. Because we need another guitar player. Because it was like a couple friends from high school that I was playing with at the time. It was not very serious at that point. But after meeting Charlie, I asked him to come to this house show. And there's this picture. It's like a sweaty, dark room. And you just see Charlie in the background. Sorry for the listeners, the horns.
Yeah.
And then it got serious.
Yeah.
That's when it happened.
And then we overlapped with Harry on Warped Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was working out there with Monster Energy. I noticed them as like familiar faces every day. Like, it was funny when I finally reconnected with Sam back in Richmond. I looked at them at like a house show they were playing. I was like, you're the egg guy from Warped Tour. And so essentially like they were a catering band. I was working out there with Monster. And once we connected at like a barbecue at the end of the tour one year, might have been Warped Tour prom, one of our mutual friends Drew was like, well, we're all from Richmond, you got to come hang. That's when I like stumbled upon one of their house shows and recognized that they needed a drummer.
And you came in with deviled eggs. What is the egg thing?
Okay, that's just pure coincidence.
Okay.
So my job on Warped Tour was like I ran the egg station, like for like the catering.
It's in
the morning.
His blood now.
So now everyone called me like the egg man or the egg guy or something like that. Which I mean, I like eggs, but not to that point. I just happened to have deviled eggs today.
Can't go anywhere.
It was funny. I could have come with the chicken biscuit I had, but I had the deviled eggs left.
It was funny because when I finally met Sam like at the house show, I was like, yeah, I worked out there at Monster. He's like, I knew you looked familiar. He's like, dude, I hated you. And I was like, why? He's like, because you had the easiest job ever. You gave up free drinks and worked with like hot girls. I was like, yeah, but you made my eggs every day.
Well, you lived on a bus too. We were like in a van.
I was spoiled for sure.
The bus was the big part.
Yeah, I lived the life as like a roadie or just like a, you know, just working on behind the scenes doing the builds for Monster and handing out the drinks. And now I'm here with Flight Club.
Yeah. Harry was living bougie on
I peaked early. Now I'm back down here.
Yeah, let's paint a real quick picture. He was in a nice tour bus with bunks and AC and room to breathe, and we were 8 people in a 15-passenger van. It was rough.
That was awesome.
Nobody got to lay horizontal. Lots of fetal position.
Yeah. It didn't help that like the rows of the van, they had like a 2-seat and then a aisle and then a 1-seat, so we had like someone laying in the aisle and then like people's legs spanning over top of them. It was a time. I gotta say, I look back on it fondly. Don't know if I could do it again.
It's a game of Twister.
Yeah.
So you talk about, you know, then things quote unquote got serious. What are your goals? I mean, what do you want to do as a band?
Yeah.
This podcast.
Yeah. This was the key. The capstone.
Yeah, we're pretty much done after this.
We're retiring. Yeah. No, I think that, like, you know, we want to be able to share music that gets us excited with other people with, like, similar interests and, like, just connect with people and just continue to see that grow as much as we can. You know, I'd like to turn this into, like, a full-time job just so we can see the world and connect with as many different people as we can. But in every step getting to something closer to that just feels like a major win to us, I think.
Nice, realistic too. Not, I like that you didn't say, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
You would like to play stadiums. I'm sure you'd like to get to that point, but it seems like you get the trajectory that it takes time and it takes work. Yeah.
I always tell people, I'm like, while I want this to be a career, my goal is not to be like the Jonas Brothers or like a Taylor Swift level of success. Like, I just like would like to be able to like buy a house, live comfortably off of just doing this, you know, and be able to tour.
I just want to be considered like a national act, open up, get that like opportunity to open up for our favorite bands to be able to connect with like larger audiences quicker, because we can go tour the country ourselves right now, but not as many people know who we are. We're lucky because of their hustle on Warped Tour that we have pockets of people in different cities who do remember or still follow us. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, just being able to play venues like the National and like cities all over the world really like that, and just keep opening up and getting to explore throughout the day around everywhere we can and be able to put the party on at night.
What do you like to see when you go to different cities? Like, what is the thing that each of you goes to in that city? For some people, it's bookstores. For some people, it's coffee shops. For some people, it's museums. What is the thing that you got to check out when you're in a new place?
They love Taco Bell.
Every yeah. Taco Bell must be explored. It's yeah. something
and they're all,
that
are they all different? What makes them so unique everywhere you go?
Well, you know, and we went to Chicago and they have a Taco Bell cantina there, which is like where they sell like the boozy like freezes and stuff. And we went there after we like played our last show, went to an after party, and then like drunkenly walked there. And oh my God, it was a mess in there. It was wild.
Chaos. I was wearing a cowboy hat and I was like the least out of place. It was nuts.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I like trying to catch parks. Since a lot of us come from like a bar background, we go try to find like where the locals drink and just like get like a kind of like a slice of the city if we can.
Chicken wings. Nice. That's a good place for chicken wings. Oh, yeah. So you really end up doing that. There's
quite a bit of a wing tour going yeah. on at this
kinda
point.
Kind of worn it out a little bit, but yeah. we used to do that all the time.
If we're waking up in a new city, I try to go on a walk or a run just to get a little bit of a feeling of a divey spot that's around that hopefully I can bring the guys to or something. But yeah, we try to, me and Charlie work a lot on the road. We're, mm-hmm. we're fortunate to be able to take our work with us and knock out, you know, a show and hopefully make a little bit of money. But mm-hmm. yeah, so we stay busy as we can, but if we have time to research a spot on a new city, then we definitely, you know, want to go make that happen.
Literally like the staple sightseeing things are usually yeah. it's kind of like straightforward. Be like, all right, we're like we went to Canada last year and it's like, all right, we're going by Niagara.
Yeah.
See the falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that. So
we used to be really bad about it. Like there were like the first few tours we did, there would be days where we had a lot of time to get to the next spot and we would end up just like kind of kicking it at like whoever was nice enough to host us the night before. But it just turned into us like chilling in different living rooms, like, you know, across the stage, which is like kind of cool. But we were just outside of Nashville and I was like, we didn't even go see Nashville. Like, this is crazy. So now a lot of the times when we're on the road, we'll play the show, like decompress, and then just take shifts driving through the night. That way we can wake up in the city and be like, let's walk around, let's go see what the spot looks like, let's see if they'll let us get in early, and like, let's go meet some people, tell them to come out to the show.
Engage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was gonna say also it's kind of fun, just like sounds not quite as fun as some of the other stuff, but just a lot of aimless walking when we're in like the bigger cities that we haven't been to.
Yeah.
Just like try to stumble upon something, let the day.
Oh, dude, the best one was when we were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was like right when bird scooters started blowing up, and we literally just like rode bird scooters like through parking garages and all over Atlanta. That was so much fun.
Made it to the Coca-Cola factory, and then we challenged Alex to try every single drink that soda they had, which is like well over 100, maybe 200.
Yeah, it was 120
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
What was that Italian one called that was terrible?
The Beverly. Oh,
yeah. Beverly, yeah.
Dude, haunts my dreams, I think.
Don't ever forget the Beverly.
Was it like burnt caramel?
I don't know what it was even trying to be is the thing. Like, uh-huh. It was, like, everyone I've talked to about it, too, they're just like, yeah, I have no idea what's going on there.
It was the blood of the Coca-Cola polar bear.
Blood of the wait, what?
The polar bear. Oh, yeah.
I met a woman at our last show named Beverly, and she was from Atlanta. And I was like, oh, the Coke Museum. Did you ever try? And she was like, I hate that my name is preceded by this terrible soda.
See?
All right, I'm seeking it out.
It's haunting.
Let's take a quick minute, and we're going to listen to a little snippet of some of your music as well. Because we've talked to you, now we need to know what people need to know what you sound like. I got enough for self-destruction and it just won't quit. I got some nervous, nasty habits that I'm living with. They got me bending over backwards in the mirror again. Staring eye to eye, trying to read between the lines. Eye to eye, trying to read between the lines. See, that's what made your Chaco session so amazing. So what is the writing style process like?
Oh, a mess.
a lot of arguing.
Walk us through your brains, if you will.
Yeah, so we have this really cool, like, it's sometimes it feels like too many cooks in the kitchen, but at the end of the day, it kind of really comes together, which is cool because, like, I think what will generally happen, one of us has an idea, which is hilarious when it's Harry, because Harry, he's learning guitar, but he's not much of a melodic instrument player. So he's coming to, like, Sam or I and being like, okay, but it goes like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na, and we're like, okay, yeah, like trying to figure it out. But we'll demo like just stuff in one of our bedrooms and just kind of like stay up late drinking a lot of beer and like just throwing ideas at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it's cool because then like, you know, with their last record, we get to the end of it and like we'll be like talking about a line or a riff or something and be like, I don't even know which one of us came up with that, which I think is cool because that makes everything really like it's more this is Flight Club and not like, oh, well, that's Sam's part and this is my part or anything like that.
It's funny when it's like when we feel like really confident about something we wrote that it'll be like, yeah, when I wrote that part, I'll be like, I'm pretty sure I wrote that. It's like, no, man, yeah. No.
Yeah.
You need a documentarian to follow you around.
Yeah, proper credit, you know? I think we did that with like even the name of the record, Until the Sun Drowns. Like we were messing around with some idea with like the release and Harry was like, yeah, I love this idea. And I was like, you're welcome. And he was like, I wrote that. And sure enough, he did. And I was like, oh, man, that was my bad. I'm just out here taking credit where credit is not due.
Yeah, I don't necessarily start a lot of like song ideas, but I do love sitting in and giving my input. And sometimes I think a small idea catches where I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm a writer.
When you do get out there and go on tour as you've been, where do you think you're most appreciated? Where do you find the best reception?
Oh, definitely the Northeast for some reason, which is cool because we've recorded twice up in Massachusetts. And but every time we've been up there, like I feel like we've been well received. We get like that's one of the spots we get the most messages of like, hey, come back to Connecticut, come back to Massachusetts. And we're just like, yeah, okay, why not?
Yeah, I guess so. I was going to tell you you were wrong.
Yeah, so was I. Like, my immediate reaction was like, he's wrong.
Canada
was
cool.
Canada is a number two, though.
Yeah, Canada.
We've hooked the Canucks, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that they just get the like raw energy, you know? Like, we were up there for this like little fest, and there was this group of dudes, and the crowd was just like, oh, yeah, you got to come hang out at this at their Airbnb after. Just like, all right, dude.
All right.
Not bad.
It's like either that or like, we just like Canada so much that we're just going to keep pushing this narrative. Until they like us.
Fake it till you make it.
I didn't even realize how cool Canada was. I mean, I had nothing against or anything, but obviously, like, Americans make fun of Canada. Or, like growing up, like, especially, like, in the South and stuff, it, like, it gets mocked. And I, like, never had anything or expectation, but, like, when we went there the first time, like, I got, like, we went to Toronto, and I was like, this is like if New York was really clean.
Yeah.
And, like, we, like, nice. Just all, there was, like, so much, like, stuff that was, like, really nice. Montreal was beautiful, and I was just like, we've been playing ourselves this whole time. This place rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, big love for the Great White North.
I'm big in Quebec.
Yeah. All my real friends are in Quebec.
Do you guys have any cringy first band names or songs that you wrote when you were first starting out that you're just mortified?
We get a lot of Fight Club when we tell people we're Flight Club, and then they go, oh, the first rule. And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, first rules, learn how to read.
Yeah. We got fucking like mean about it on Warped Tour too, because like, the amount of times, like, by the end of the tour, it would just be like, fuck off, there's a... Like, we would get really pissed, honestly, by the end of it. Like,
and we did it to
like,
ourselves,
normally
though.
We don't care, we think it was funny, but after like a month and a half straight of every day...
So it's like, you know what the first rule is, right? People yelling that to you all day.
Yeah. So, no, I do not know what the first rule is.
Don't confuse us with the movie.
But that's what happens when you, like, our original drummer actually came up with the idea for the name, and that we were 17 or 18 at the time, so that's the curse of deciding on something like that when you're still in high school.
Let's go through. I know I have a bad high school band name. I was in a band called Among the Many, which sounds like a 2010s metalcore band, but we were very much like a pop punk band. It didn't fit.
I don't know if the bad ones, but the first band I was ever in was called Sign of a Lost Dog.
That's actually kind of a cool band name, man. Actually. What about, weren't you in a band called Dressed to Kill?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty bad.
The first band I ever toured with was called Riviera. I think they're trying to make a comeback, lineup change and everything. I think they changed their name, though, recently. But, yeah, that was my first taste of being in a band after college.
I think Riviera is a cool name, though.
Riviera is a good name.
Very common, like, street name and stuff.
Really?
So, yeah, that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. What was your band name again? Mind Over Matter?
Mind Over Matter.
Mom.
Which was funny because, like, I would have, like, my mom's friends, like, sending me pictures of, like, Fashion Bug shirts being like, your merch. church? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Mind, line, bug? Matter.
I can't even believe you know what fashion bug is.
Well, I only think about that for the first. There's this TV show, and he's like he's making fun of his girlfriend's clothes or something. He's like, I know one of us has had her own stylist, and I know the other one shoplifts their shit from Fashion Bug.
That's basically the only way you could get our merch is if you shoplifted Fashion Bug. It's very exclusive.
What do you like most about the Richmond music scene?
Dude, it's diverse. There's a lot. Yeah, I feel like every time I think I know it, there I find a whole pocket that has like such a good following. So yeah, I think it's very eclectic. You got like a good mix of like there's some cool rock bands, there's some cool like more like country influenced bands, and then there's a good like alternative like pop and like R&B scene that's exploding. Yeah, a lot of diversity, and I feel like every time I go to a show and just meet people, everyone's just excited to be there and meet other people. It's really nice.
And not just because it's post-COVID.
Yeah.
What would you like to see change in the Richmond music scene? Is there anything Ooh. We're lacking? How would you like to see us evolve?
I think there's like, you know, you got the RVA Folk Fest and you got like very big opportunities for specific genres, but I personally or selfishly would love like the opportunity to put together a big event for like the punk or the high energy type of acts. Like
yeah.
There's always new high energy bands coming out of VCU that really get me inspired to try to tap back into the new scenes and let them know that like we dig what they're doing and we have been around doing it so we can help each other out or, you know, they can help with our shows. But doing something bigger, like if there's any opportunity like a Browns Island type of thing or a big theater to where we can do a true DIY showcase, but show the crowds that come out for like Folk Fest and get that type of promotion, you know?
That'd be huge.
Yeah. I should just think some kind of something to help bridge like the gap of like you just knowing about other bands and like other little pockets of like these scenes, because like I was saying earlier, like I'll find out about a band and then I go to their shows and it's like packed out and I'm like, how did I not know about this? And then like, you know, just like meeting other bands and like I guess just like trying to find a way to unite all of these different pockets would be really, really cool, you know.
It should be less exclusive.
Yeah,
like if you're one of those bands, like be less exclusive with your sound. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's not necessarily a problem with a lot of the younger people, but I feel like some bands that have been around a while still feel a little out of place or feel weird playing with bands that don't sound like them or that they've never heard of and stuff.
We can all be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was our purpose with 804 Day, is that, you know, we knew we were having the three stages, and when it came time to program, I did not want an R&B stage and a singer-songwriter stage. And I wanted, you know, how many of our acts, I wanted every band to be different because I wanted their followings to be coming and going and passing each other and standing next to each other. And, you know, as one's loading in and one loading out, you know, you can learn from seeing the band set up before you or just mingle and just say, oh, yeah, man, I know you from this band. Because so many musicians are in multiple bands that was definitely the point.
Yeah, we had a great time meeting all the other acts for River Rock. You know, they had that little, like, backstage section and just, like, meeting people and then, like, seeing what other projects they were involved with and just, like, kind of being amazed that we hadn't crossed paths sooner.
But they live right down the street.
Yes.
Yeah, like, we live in Carytown. Like, well, same. Yeah.
It happens like, behind the scenes. I mean, we cannot believe how many things we think are revolutionary. We're going to start this initiative and you find out from other people. Oh, yeah, we've been working on that for 3 years. You're like, I had no idea. Now let's join forces. It happens, you know, it happens between city and state governments. You can't believe that they're both working on things, but they don't know about it and they're not sharing information. And most of the time they're not excluding. They just don't think to reach out to certain people. So it's interesting that you say, as musicians, you wish that there was a little more, too. And we have a few platforms. We have Ignited VA, which is a great website and app that connects musicians. It's, you know, just sort of an online community for musicians. There's Facebook groups. I mean, there are ways, but you've got to invest time in that exploration, and it's just so much more fun to go to a show and meet people there.
Yeah, I think it could be like a cool initiative for like our 2024 if like we got behind something and said like, hey, like, okay, this is a problem that we see, like how would we want to solve it, and just kind of, I don't know, make like a show or like a reoccurring thing that we can have other musicians on and just kind of like spread the knowledge, spread the wealth, and really just turn like people on to each other. You know what I mean? especially like in the city.
And being like part of being like punk and DIY is like the that's like a coolness factor of being like underground. But so there is that part of it. But like I said earlier, with like I would love like a Browns Island type of day where there's food trucks and multiple stages or something like that, where you really get to showcase how many small bands deserve those big crowds and can, you know, put each other on the map a little bit more locally. So all those extra shows that are happening every weekend can, you know, people can start filing in and see the true energy that happens underground and not just wait. You know, we've been around 8 years and people are discovering us for the first time and be like, I have no idea about that energy. Like, you're a new band? Like, no, we've been doing this.
For legal reasons, yes.
Yeah. I have some people I can put you in touch with. So,
yeah, hell yeah.
We'll be doing some networking. Are you guys practical jokers?
Yeah, this guy.
Okay, so what's the best practical joker prank you've pulled? What's most successful, crazy?
Oh, man. Mine aren't like big extravagant things, but I just get under people's skin with like dry humor. And like, Sam's my roommate. Like, it is too easy to fuck with Sam.
That you get legitimately frustrated?
Well, he's really good at, gullible feels a little harsh to say about myself, but I just won't know when
he's trusting.
I won't know when it's a bit and when he's messing with me.
Yeah,
I realize it so quickly now, but I've already embarrassed myself and I'll be like, God, he's doing it again. God damn it.
I think we got Sam once on tour where we were, as a group, the rest of us were deleting messages from our band group chat. And then being like, Sam, what are you talking about? And he would like be like, you said, and like, I never said that. And it was just like something we did like in the van, like on the way to another spot. It was pretty harsh.
It's like we say pranks, but we're really all just like gaslighting Sam all the time. Is all that's happening.
Well, they did this thing. I walk really fast. It's like when we're walking around the city, I get ahead of everyone. And so they would like, it's like they would basically start walking behind me. But if I like turned back to check on them, they would just freeze every time.
Yeah. We would never catch up to him, and then he started walking towards us. We would just run.
Sam,
scatter.
For a while, he's like, why am I always the one holding the door for everyone? He's just like, because you get there 45 minutes before the rest of us. Like,
Charlie got me when we did the session here, because they're like, hey, Harry, this is your type of beer, Athletico or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, and I don't read, you know. So I'm just chilling, sipping on this beer, and Charlie's like, have another one, it's the last one, it's all you. And I'm just like, you feeling good? I had no idea it's non-alcoholic. Yeah, so they're just laughing because I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'll get the last one. Yeah, it's all mine. Yeah.
You were high on life.
Yeah,
I was just, it's placebo effect. You were feeling like I think like also like the adrenaline from the show probably accentuated it.
I had one Bold Rock mix in there, so I was like, yeah, I feel something.
Yeah. it's there. Yeah.
Harry, what's the weirdest thing you find attractive in a person?
Ooh.
Oh, man. Weirdest thing I find attractive? I don't know. I like older ladies. They're cool.
No comment.
Are we talking geriatric, qualify for... For Social Security?
I visit the nursing home all the time.
Cruising the Raisin Ranch?
That's my Tinder.
The Raisin Ranch? Oh, my God.
High five. That was good.
That was good. Yeah.
No, I really don't know. Weirdest thing I find attractive? There's not too many weird things. I just like... Just committing to
vanilla.
The bit. Just some... Yeah, very vanilla. Just anybody that can actually accept my humor and run along with it and not just get frustrated that... Or not let me be me, because I have to goof off all day or I'll go crazy.
Yeah. Like the eye contact with Sam during
Hey, I love his humor.
Don't break it.
So tell me more about this roommate situation.
Alex, what movie can you quote line for line?
I don't know, because I'm really bad with quotes. I like latch on to like very specific ones.
That's a Sam question.
Oh, that's like Sam. What movie can you quote line for line?
Like, there's like 20 of them. Anchorman.
Yeah.
Good Man.
Inglourious Basterds, probably.
Not a movie, but...
funny movies, like Talladega Nights, definitely.
Of course.
Like, there's like 5 Will Ferrell movies.
Yeah.
What was that Canadian show?
Letterkenny.
Oh, my not gosh. A movie, but... He could, every day, it was like watching 5 episodes just by hanging out with Sam.
There's this, we had this old tour video where I think it was Alex had said something. He was like, "Don't tell Sam I quoted Letterkenny."
Harry's really good at quoting like childhood cartoons. Like, will be so funny. Like, he'll bring out like Hugh Neutron from Jimmy Neutron or something from SpongeBob, and I'll be like he'll say it. And it's like this funny. I'm dying laughing. I'm like, what is that even from? I know it's like before I even get the reference. And it's, it'll be like the funniest voice because, especially the Hugh Neutron one. That one always gets me.
He's my favorite character for sure.
Don't tell the others, but you're my favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie, what can you eat until you just get sick of it? Like, you just can't eat enough of it.
Oh, man. Honestly, he said it earlier, but like Taco Bell, as a vegetarian on the road, Taco Bell really just comes in clutch. Either that or Cocky Rooster here in Richmond. I feel like anytime I'm like thinking about getting food, like if anyone's like, oh, but like Cocky Rooster, I'm like, oh, that's it. Like, you mentioned it, I gotta go. So good. Great. They have cauliflower and like soy nugget wings for vegetarians. So, my guys.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really nice too.
What just the thought of makes you sick? Like, what can you not even tolerate?
Oh, yeah. I've been vegetarian for like 15 years now, something like that. So, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty open when it comes to foods. I'm not a big like juice guy. Like, I try to get into like health juices, you know, smoothies, great, but like some of like the more green juices, like I really wanted to like it and be like a cool, healthy guy. Can't do it, man.
No wheatgrass for Charlie?
No. I'd like to try again in a few years when my taste buds shed, but until then I'm staying way clear, okay?
Completely forgot about that. I'm gonna be coming up on like my taste bud revival.
We should hold like a solstice
for a couple years, you know? So I've been chicken wing
what days does it happen?
It's like every 7 years. Yeah. So every 7 years apparently you're like the taste buds that you had now are completely different from the ones you had. So like throughout like your life,
it's like your entire body is entirely different cells after like 7 years.
That's pretty cool.
Like that. It's like whatever, there's no part of you from 7 years
we're
ago.
Always shedding. We're going to be a new band next year. Yeah. Like completely different people.
Yeah. New sound, new look.
I mean, it's been
8 years. Drummer.
New genders.
Yeah. It's been 8 years, so we were physically not the same. Yeah. I mean, separate from Adrian. But
you look terrible.
That was still that way 8 years ago. that part hasn't changed.
What can people expect from you kind of rounding out the year and looking ahead to early next year?
New music. That's the top priority for us right now. We've been writing and we have like probably 50 some like demos from the last few years. Some things that we want to reapproach, some things that we want to start over and start new. But I think that we wrote our record a little bit ago. We have 2 songs ready to rock and we're ready to just keep pushing out new stuff. So I think that writing is in our future.
We got a new music video on the way.
Oh yeah.
Ready to rock. So we hopefully get that out within the next like month or two, and then we're excited to record the Christmas song with you guys. So, you know, we've been stirring up some funny ideas. Don't want to spoil it, but I think we're gonna go more of our goofy route and rock and goofy on this one.
Yeah.
What did you just ask? Oh, who's doing your video?
Our buddy Spencer, Spencer C's, Out of Sight Creative, yeah, is his creative like name. He is from Richmond but lives out in LA now, so we just every time he comes back home, if we have an idea, we just try to meet up with him and put it out. He's a one-man team and he does fantastic work. It's honestly crazy. I can't believe he does it all by himself.
Yeah, it's funny because he'll like message us, he'll be like, just heads up guys, I'm gonna be in Richmond,
yeah,
August 8th through 18th.
And then we scramble. Oh, we're ready. Spencer's coming to town.
So he did that one, but we also have our friends in Altamira, Altamira Film Company. They're also based out of Richmond, and they do crazy work. They'll do like anything from like music videos to like these beautiful like wedding recaps to like commercials for like big like brands and stuff like that, and still like some of the most down-to-earth dudes. So they've done a handful of our videos as well, so definitely wanted to give them a shout-out too.
Fantastic.
I feel like, yeah, we love doing videos just as much as songs. So yeah, if we have the opportunity and everybody's been cool to work within a cool budget with us, because we try to produce the video as much as we can. So they show up with the camera and know the idea and they're like, oh, wow, you guys got this ready. You got the people, you got the props. So our goal is, since we're I think we win people over our live sound, we're trying to do that just as much with our live or with our videos, instead of just only putting out song after song and hoping people have the attention span to listen. So the goal will be new music with visuals for 2024, yeah, all throughout the year.
So if you haven't seen her videos yet, check them out on YouTube. Look up Flight Club Band, though, because there is a much more prominent shoe store that exists, and a lot of people do shoe reviews from Flight Club, the shoe store.
We got to collab with them, man.
Dude, we should do a shoe.
We have to make our own shoe.
I think before you were playing with us, we stopped in New York on a tour, and we like took took a photo in front of the storefront.
Yeah,
like we did it.
It was actually funny because it was when Snapchat was like at like its peak, I think, and they started like rolling out those like location filters. So we were like in New York taking a photo with like the skyscrapers behind us and like a Flight Club filter, and people were like, "You guys made your own filter?" We're like, "No."
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So are you Flight Club Band everywhere?
So you can find us all on all of our socials as Flight Club VA for Virginia, our pride and joy, our heart, our home.
But yeah, Southern roots.
Yeah, Flight Club VA on all the socials. You can find us, including YouTube. But the videos, some are on our channel, some are on our previous label's channel. So if you just type in like Flight Club Band music video, something like that, it'll generally help to push the search results away from like the shoe store and everything.
You're going down, shoe store.
Yeah, unless you want to collab, and
they're not even that comfy. You never have my size.
It's just resale too. They're just like selling like air.
Then we're both going up.
Yeah, they're huge. Someone sent me a photo of like Travis Barker like wearing Flight Club shorts with their logo, and someone was like, "Dude, you got Travis Barker in your shirt." And we're like, "Yeah,
thanks, to make it. Yeah, we did. Yep. He's a good friend.
Tag him. Make sure he knows.
Borrow the logo for.
Sounds like something Sam would believe.
Yeah.
You got me.
Sam, look what I just sent this in the mail.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
I knew this was going to be fun and make me giggle, and and it did. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is a joy. You're a pleasure. And this room sounds great, I got to say.
Thank you again for listening to This Room Sounds Great. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Visit ShacoSessionsLive.com to get tickets to our live shows and to watch online. And visit ShacoRecords.com and sign up for the newsletter so you're always in the know of all the groovy things we've got going on. And that's a wrap.